Hi, everyone, and welcome to this episode of The Reading Revolution, powered by BookVending.com. I'm your host, Josh Gregory. In October 2024, introduced the first of its kind STEM vending machine, Morgan's STEM machine. It was unveiled and installed at the Buffalo Academy of Science Charter Elementary School 2 in Buffalo, New York. Today, we're sitting down with Principal Brianna Lanois and Assistant Principal Courtney Champlett to talk about Morgan's impact on the students and staff. We're also going into the classroom to talk to teachers and students about how Morgan is changing the face of BuffSci Elementary 2. Get ready for a great episode. The STEM revolution starts now. Are you ready to embark on an adventure through the world of words? Join us on the Reading Revolution and let's explore the exciting world of literacy together. Well, thank you so much for being on the Reading Revolution. It's a pleasure to have you.
Thank you so much for having me today.
So talk to me a little bit about your educational journey. When did you decide that education is for me? This is what I want to do for a living.
That's an interesting story because all my life I was told I should go into education. So of course, I was a little disruptor and I didn't. So I did not actually get my degree in education. I went for theater performance. And then when I graduated, I ended up teaching theater at Empower. I directed some shows for children with autism. And then I ended up working at a school for children with autism, the Summit Center, as an aide. And I was just like blown away at how right everything felt. I loved working with kids. I loved seeing them push past perceived limits. And I love just like those in-your-face moments where kids are showing you, yeah, I can do this. And it's really great to be a part of that process. So I immediately looked up. I'm like, okay, I spent 4 years getting a degree. Now what do I do? And I found a program called Teach for America, which is a nonprofit based in providing educational equity in urban environments. And they had just launched a branch in Buffalo. So I was like, this is perfect timing. I'll apply for this. I don't know what I'm doing, but I just want to, you know, I feel very passionate about it. So I applied for Teach for America and was part of the 2015 core in Buffalo. And was able to get a great professional development process through there. Also, they pair you with your master's program. So I enrolled in Canisius for Urban Ed, specifically students with disabilities, and was able to do that for 2 years. It's a two-year commitment through the program. And then I joined, I was teaching at School 6 in Buffalo. So I was part of the Buffalo public school system, and I really fell in love with teaching because before I was just working with kids and directing, and the educational component was just like what did it for me, just seeing students being able to accomplish their goals was really empowering for them and inspiring to me. So I saw amazing results there. And from there, I joined a program called Building Excellent Schools, which I got to travel and study high-performing urban environments in schools that are doing incredible work across the United States. From there, I tried to apply for a charter school. I got denied. It was called Nickel City Prep, and I went through state ed and made it to the final round, got denied. But through that process, I got to meet the founders of Buffalo Academy of Science, and they were applying for this charter here. So they had already built a model, and they applied for a replicator school. So BuffSci 2, our Doat Street campus, is that replicator school. So although it's very like true to the word, like one door closed, another door opened right at that exact moment where I found out I did not get in, or my school didn't get approved, but BuffSci was looking for a leader, and it doesn't matter what the name is. The mission and vision was the same. And I've been very blessed and grateful to be a part of the school community.
And having that theater background has to come into play every day at an elementary school.
Yeah. I joke because when I was teaching and I was so worried, and Teach for America usually has a non-traditional teaching force. It's kind of like getting people who are just passionate about educational equity or maybe policy work or just working with students from lower socioeconomic statuses and giving them opportunities. The theater background was just like essential in everything I was doing because it was constantly, I didn't know classroom management, but I knew how to juggle. I didn't know, you know, I didn't know these techniques, but I knew how to like do a somersault on the floor, and the kids would be like, oh, what's happening? Like, so I would use like a lot of physical theater tricks. I would do a lot of like call and response, singing with the kids. And it was amazing. I learned some skills throughout the process, but at first it was a lot of like trying to put on a show. Absolutely.
So you mentioned, you know, the overall mission of the Buffalo Science Charter Academy.
Yeah.
What is the the difference is that for someone who's not familiar with what is going on here, charter schools in general, what's the big difference between a traditional public school and what the kids are doing here at BuffSci?
That's a great question. And I love that you use the term traditional public school, because a charter school is a public school. And that's one of the major misconceptions that people have, is they might think that a charter school, that there's a criterion-based test like City Honors or a school like that, or that there's a tuition for the school. And our mission is to provide parents with choice, with high-quality options, specifically in cities where there might not always be that access and opportunity. So the largest difference, like I said, we're still a public school. A lot of our funding and things go through Buffalo Public Schools, so we still have a relationship with the larger public, traditional public school district, but we are able to have our own board. So we have a lot more autonomy. We can be nimble. We can make changes with curriculum. We can give a survey to our stakeholders and make an action plan that day and execute it the following day. So what really sets us apart is that ability to base our curriculum, base our code of conduct, base our academic policies. Everything is catered to our population. And we really value our parents as partnerships. And as they build the school, what we do is just, it's hinges on their participation. So those are kind of some of the differences. I'm trying to think. We're not part of, although you can be part of a union as a charter school, but our school, our labor force isn't. I think that's the main thing. We just can make, we have a lot more autonomy here.
And with, you know, being focused on STEM, such a big term that's been, you know, thrown around in the media, it's thrown around in educational circles, it's everywhere. People see it constantly, STEM, STEM, STEM.
Yeah.
How is STEM incorporated into all of the subjects that you teach here? Because again, you are teaching things like music, math, and those sorts of things.
Yeah. So when we think about that, the reason we're really passionate about that is we see STEM roles. One, we see an upper underrepresentation in minority students, and that's the demographic that we primarily serve. So it's real. We're really passionate about that, giving them opportunities and access. We also see that those are jobs of the future, right? The STEM field is they're the engineers, they're the technicians, they're futurists. They're building this future that we want our students to be on the cutting edge of. We want them to have those opportunities and to be leading that work. The way that it lives here, I actually just came from Lego Club, so we have our after school. Lego Club that's run by one of our BuffSci alums. He's also our IT specialist, which is really exciting. Kids love seeing him. But that's kind of like that full circle. Like, he was one of our graduates. He studied tech in school, came back. Now he's leading our Lego Club. And so we do that in our extracurriculars a lot. Like, we do, the year culminates in a huge science fair for our fourth graders. We do STEM nights every month. So tonight's our STEM night, which actually would be good footage. But we're doing, so we always have families come in from 5 to 5:30, chat, get some pizza, hang out. And then Mrs. Graham does a demonstration. And then our students and their parents and guardians and siblings get to partake in that same exact thing and see that spark, that joy that comes with discovery and curiosity. So that's like, those are more the extracurricular ways in which we infuse STEM, but as well as our science elective, which all students partake in, which again is Mrs. Graham leads our students in their full K through four education of their science objectives. And then in the classroom, we have a project. Each classroom has a project. So basically it's something that students are interacting with each day. It could be some of our classrooms have a class pet and they learn about how to take care of that animal and the life cycle of that animal. And we try to integrate it into the classroom. Some of our classrooms have like a focus on botany and like they take care of the plants and they learn about what the plant's genus species is and like how to take care of it and what it needs. Other classrooms, like right now, kindergarten has decomposing pumpkins and they learn about the life cycle. And eventually it creates an entire like enclosed ecosystem and the pumpkin decomposes and then a new pumpkin grows. So it's really cool. Those are ways in which it's kind of like an overarching theme for a year-long project. And then we infuse STEM into our reading and into our like math problem stories. Like oftentimes it'll be like, two scientists, we're working on an experiment, just to get that mindset going of like, what STEM, that the STEM field is not off limits for anyone just because there's been systemic barriers or just because there's an underrepresentation, that everyone has access to that.
And I have seen a focus in a lot of areas, STEM education, kind of not necessarily geared specifically towards, but in a way kind of pushing young females into STEM fields to at least consider those as careers or follow whatever they're going to do in their life. Is that kind of approach also being taken here where it's again, as you mentioned, it's for everybody.
Yeah.
But is there any more of a focus pushed on that for the female component here?
Yeah, I think that's great to bring up. It's definitely like a focus of ours. I mean, our science, for 2 years in a row, our science project or science fair winners have been females, groups of three girls that have won each time. So I think that's just very paramount in setting their self-efficacy and knowing what they're capable of. And then everyone seeing that, okay, yep. Like, again, it could be anyone that wins, but it just so happens, that, you know, that empowerment, through seeing Mrs. Graham, who is a female educator as well, who teaches science, I think that's huge too, because from a very young age, we start, based on who we see in certain roles, we start to build our futures. We start to see like, this is what I'm capable of, or this is what girls do, or this is what boys do, or this is what people who look like me do. Like, there's all these like categories that we start to build. Mm-hmm. So we want to definitely break those barriers and showcase our students in these roles. We also do a speaker series where we try to bring in people from the community that are in roles similar in these fields, just so that we're exposing our students that they do have a limitless capacity. So how can we bring as many people here? How can we, again, even you interviewing our student, right? That's amazing. At first grade, I can say, wow, I was on a podcast. I could be a podcaster. I could lead this. I could build this machine. Our students were so excited when you guys brought the STEM machine and they were asking, like, you, because you guys built it, they could ask you questions about how it was constructed and what went into it. And that's just that exposure and that those open conversations about what they're capable of is essential to what they're going to do.
Well, it's perfect that you bring that up. When we went into the classroom, when we first got here, a student said, oh, the STEM guy. He recognized Tom and I, that we're the STEM guys. Great memory, first of all. but yeah, Buff Sci Elementary 2 has the very first Morgan STEM vending machine that we launched here in October. Talk a little bit about the buildup before we actually had the big unveiling. What was going on with the faculty and with the kids knowing that something special was coming?
Yeah. So we sent, I believe you sent it to me, a previous podcast and some ribbon cutting pictures of the reading machine. We also passed around the picture and made it part of the morning slide that went around in the classrooms of when the Morgan, Marvelous Morgan machine was completed. And students were able to see it in their like morning meeting slides. They're talking about it. They're getting excited. Especially part of the biggest thing was like knowing that they chose this school, that the students here are that important and that valued, that it's coming to our school. And there's a sense of pride and enthusiasm around it. So students are just excited to see it in person. It was one of the best moments when we did the unveiling, and like the, not only the kids that were chosen as ambassadors, but the kids that were in the audience that got to see it and just were so excited by it. So that was kind of the buildup, like in the classroom, just learning about it, seeing it, talking about how it was going to be used. Cause that's like, kids were the first question. Okay, how do I get a coin? What am I going to do? So we passed out magic coins to all the teachers just to get excitement. So after we did the unveiling, teachers could like, basically if you saw something amazing, something incredible you wanted to stop the class for and highlight, they would get a coin, and then it would be this whole thing going to the machine and getting that. And then we've also, it's 250 Buff Sci bucks. So now, but the students, you have to get it from either Ms. Champlin or I. So it's like we make a huge celebration about it because we want them to know that this is something really special and like that they have worked really hard to achieve this and that we're just as excited for them. So we've done it for a couple really special initiatives as well. But the buildup was real. Then the unveiling, we made sure our students were a really big part of it. We sent out pictures to the class too of everything. And then now students are able to use it regularly. As you saw, it's diminishing. We haven't gotten the delivery yet. We need to replenish it. But students are really excited by it still.
And you know, you mentioned that they get these school books that they can get a token for. What does it say about the machine to know that kids would rather have that than anything else that they might be able to save up from in the school store, which is also a fine array of things for them to use? What does it mean where they know, or you know, that they want to go to that machine and get a kit?
Yeah, so we try to keep the Buffside Bookstore well stocked, but there's just that excitement of one, 250 Buffside Bucks is a lofty goal. So the excitement is real that students can achieve that and earn that many, because oftentimes students are getting like one Buffside Buck at a time. So it's like, great job, you know, with your feedback on in this peer-to-peer conversation, I'm going to give you a Buffside Buck. I love the way that you guys work together. Whatever it is, the specific feedback, that buildup to get that is a huge, like monumental piece of like the machine itself. So they've worked really hard, and then they're getting this special moment where there is kind of like an intimacy where like, okay, it's Morgan talking to you and you get to put it in and you get to select anything and it's going to come down and you're going to pick it up and you're going to choose that. I think that there's just some more, excitement surrounding that and versus just going to the store and like picking something out.
As an administrator, how do you see keeping that sustainable where Morgan will still be exciting next week, next month, into next year, and for new students coming in who have probably never seen anything like that?
That's a great question. And we're not there yet, but that is something that we're thinking about as we just have to like, we have to restock already, which we did do a huge excitement in the beginning of the year, like handing out, it was like candy. It was like, okay, like for the most like amazing thing, give out this coin. And so we could celebrate it and generate excitement. But going forward, I think we do need to hold it for these really powerful moments. For instance, we just did our renewal visit with State Ed, and we had a student panel. They did a phenomenal job. They went in there. I just got to see the beginning of it. They like shook their hands, sat down, were like seated, ready to go. And we're really able to talk eloquently about our school and what it means to them and how they feel here. And when they came out, they were just so excited and so proud of themselves. And so, you know, we just amped it up and we're like, you know what, we're going to go right now to the STEM machine and get this, pick out a prize. And they just screamed so loudly again. I think it's what you pair it with. Mm-hmm. I think it's how you present it. And I think it's how specific you are with the reason behind this. Like if you make it a big deal, it feels like a big deal, to our students. So I think it's important to just find those opportunities where we're like celebrating with the machine. At the beginning of each year, we might do something where we show that pass around a STEM coin in the classroom and talk about how we can earn our Buffside Bucks to get something like that and visit. We do like school tours in the beginning of the year. So that'll be definitely a feature of the school tour and getting kids excited about it.
I had a chance to talk to a student who's received two of the kits.
Yes.
And what I found fascinating was she loved the kit, but she also talked about putting the kit together and seeing the pieces and seeing how it worked. From that academic side, how do you see that as just bolstering the education of these students, where not only are they getting something that they can play with, essentially, but they also take it a step further and understand how it works and the fact that they get to put it together themselves?
Yeah, I think that for our students, one, there's also like a really great moment where a lot of our students have shared that they built it with their siblings or they built it with their families. So that's a really powerful piece, because similar to the STEM nights, they're getting to ask those questions. They're getting to figure it out together. And that's just reinforcing that relationship, reinforcing the importance of their academics and of the STEM machine, which is really cool. But it also allows our students just to be inquiry-based in general and asking questions and figuring things out and persevering through a challenge. How many times do we build something and that piece isn't in the right spot? Oftentimes, that can be a big point of devastation for students, right? Feeling like, oh, I did it wrong and I can't get through it versus I did it wrong. I took a moment. I figured it out. And that, I think that carryover from problem solving and building something and knowing that it takes time and time again, especially in this world where everything's so automatic, I think will prove to be a really strong support and carryover in their academics, in their ability to stick with problems, even when they become a little difficult. It also reminds me that we always talk as a school of the cognitive lift being on our students. How much student voice is in the classroom? How many opportunities are students getting to work with peers and solve problems? How many opportunities are they getting to actually work through something, get feedback, implement it, and try again? So I think it just reinforces all those things that we know make really strong academic habits.
And outside of the academics, kind of that underlying thing about the positive behaviors where they know it is a science kit, but they also know it's a reward for doing what they do best and where they should be doing best.
Yeah.
So it works kind of in a dual responsibility that it's not just all about the kit, but it's also about the feeling good of I earned this.
Right. Absolutely. That hard work and effort pay off. And that's really important that we continue to reinforce that with our students.
So going forward, obviously we're almost halfway through this academic year. How do you see Morgan continuing to make a difference on this campus?
Yeah, so we definitely want to pair it with some of those bigger celebrations. So a group of students, it's really exciting when a group of students goes together. So for instance, we did that panel, they got to go together and they're like supporting each other and they're just as excited for the other person to pick out their prize as they are for themselves. So they're all gathered around the machine. It's very exciting. So the more times we can pair that, we already talked about the science fair winners will get a token. We talked about continuing to highlight leadership in the classroom. And those are moments where we can just give a token. Just let us know, let admin know, and we'll make it like a really exciting event. So we're just going to continue to look for opportunities where where that presents itself.
Yeah. And one thing that we haven't talked about that we have to is the new science room.
Yeah.
Can you talk a little bit about this? Because this is also a huge excitement piece here at Buffs Eye Elementary.
Did you get to see it?
We have not seen it.
Oh, we can go. Okay. So it is the area of the entirety of half the building. So it's the third floor. We have our art space on one side, and then we have this entire vision for our science studio that will take up the other. It's like 2,000 square feet. It's massive. We just finished everything. We're just waiting for the certificate of occupancy. So we're almost there, but the vision is very much so to have specific experimental area set up. So students, like again, a microscope lab so students can work there, to have a maker space where we could have 3D printers, where we could have some of these tools that our students like are really engaged by. And then ultimately we just had an academic meeting about it, moving towards having investigations set up through New York State so that we could be an area where even other schools could tour and do the investigation, because there's so much, it's labor intensive to set up those entire investigations. So we could be a place where other schools could visit too and go through that entire experiment and project-based learning. So
how often will the kids be able to utilize this new space?
Yeah. So, for after school, we'll definitely do like Lego club up there and anything like that. So that'd be Monday through Thursday after school. But throughout the week, students are able, we have a 3-day, schedule. So it would be every 3 days that students are up there.
That's awesome. Very, very exciting.
Thank you.
Well, thank you so much for having us. And thank you for being a partnership in education and bringing Morgan here. It was a blast to actually unveil it, but it's even more fun to see it in use and to see the excitement is still going strong here at Buffs Eye Elementary.
Yeah. Too. Thank you so much. We appreciate your time.
Thanks. Well, thank you so much for being on the Reading Revolution. It's a pleasure to have you on.
Thank you for having me. So excited to be here with you.
So tell me a little bit about how you got into education. When did you decide that this is what I want to do with my life?
So I've been obsessed with kids basically since I was younger. I was always babysitting, coaching, teaching swim lessons. So going into the teaching route was just like a natural for me. I went to Buff State for my undergrad for early childhood education, when I graduated from there, I realized that that program really didn't teach me how to teach kids how to read yet. So I need to go back to school. So then I got my master's in literacy. And then I actually started off working in Cheektowaga Central as a reading teacher while someone was on maternity leave. Did that for 2 years. And at that time, not a lot of schools were really hiring full-time teachers. Like it was, you know, people were in their spots for like years and years and years. So I was doing support roles for a couple of years. I was a one-to-one aide. And then I finally got into BuffSci, where I started as a support teacher, turned into a kindergarten teacher, and then 3 years after that, assistant principal.
So how much was a change was there going from a traditional public school to mm-hmm. you know, the BuffSci, the Science Academy?
Mm-hmm. You know what? It was great because it feels like you're just like in one big like happy family, even though, yes, we're evolving and we're continuously growing as a district that we, you know, it feels like you're just working with your family every day. You feel really close to everybody. You're really close with the students and their families. So it's very just like tight knit.
We were talking to a teacher about that, and we know mm-hmm. that tonight there's a big STEM event happening
yes.
and bringing in the parents and the community. Mm-hmm. And you kind of just mentioned that too. How important is it to have the families and the community members involved in knowing exactly what's going on in your building?
Right. I mean, it's huge. Like we have our families and our students are literally just like part of our, just like our BuffSci family. We do monthly activities with families. We do STEM nights. We have family bingo nights. We have the communities come in and our parents, and we help do projects with our playground and in the backyard and in the classrooms. So involving our students and our families are just so important.
So as an AP in mm-hmm. that in your role here, mm-hmm. how hands-on are you with the students? I know when I was a kid, mm-hmm. it was, if you were seeing the AP, you were in trouble. If you were seeing the principal, usually there was either something really great or maybe something bad.
Right.
But what is it like on a day-to-day basis with you and working with the kids?
Sure. So like student culture and staff culture is like super big in my role. So I actually start the day off helping outside with arrival. And then we make sure just all the kids are getting in safely. And then I'm actually working a kindergarten classroom for the first 30 minutes of the day. So I kind of help with getting the kids settled into the day so the teachers can pull kids one-on-one or in smaller groups to get them just a couple more academic time, you know, in that right when they get in. And then, you know, throughout the day, I'm there pushing into classrooms, helping with students who may just have a couple behaviors and just kind of like redirecting them and turning them around and showing them, you know, what they should be doing, how to do it. I do lunch duties.
There's a lot going on here. You're, you know, people think it's just like an office job where you go mm-hmm. in and this is what you do. That's never really the case, especially mm-hmm. in education.
Yeah.
So do you have a PBIS program or how does that work with the kids as far as working with, you know, positive behavior?
Mm-hmm. Yep. So we do a lot with positive behavior. So something that we do is we have BuffSci Bucks. So students are rewarded on the daily with BuffSci Bucks for following classroom expectations. So looking at the teacher, making sure they're handing in their homework, make sure they're raising their hand, they're using kind language with each other. So they can then turn in their BuffSci Bucks at the end of the week and they can go shopping at our school store, which is like really huge. Then we also added the STEM vending machine. So students know that if they save 250 BuffSci Bucks, they get the privilege of getting the special gold coin and they get to go pick something from the vending machine. We do big monthly incentives as well. So if students don't want to go shopping, they can choose the big monthly incentive that we're doing. So last month we did a big bingo night. This month students can do cookie decorating. Then we're going to be doing a glow stick dance party the following month. So students have opportunities to go to school store for incentives. Then we do random like raffles and things like that too. So students are always working towards something really fun and motivating.
So we have to talk about, well, part of the reason mm-hmm. that we're here, mm-hmm. Morgan's STEM machine, the very first Morgan
yes.
STEM machine introduced right here at BuffSci Elementary
yes.
2. So after the machine mm-hmm. was unveiled and we mm-hmm. saw the excitement from mm-hmm. that exact day, mm-hmm. what was it like in just a couple of days or even a couple of weeks mm-hmm. after the kids knew that the machine was here and for their use?
Yeah. Oh, so students are knocking on my door, Miss Lanois' door, find us in the hallway just to see what else they can do to earn more BuffSci Bucks so they get more opportunities to get something from this STEM, from the STEM vending machine. So they're really just excited to, you know, be intrinsically and extrinsically motivated to get something really cool out of there.
What do the kids like about getting those kits as opposed to any of the other things that I have seen the school store. And I know there's lots of really interesting things there, but what do they like about going and getting that coin for the Morgan machine more than maybe they would pull something off the shelf in days that you didn't have the machine?
Right. I think like the vending machine itself is very like nostalgic for like any like student and adult as well. So I think knowing that they're going to get something really cool that they get to choose from the vending machine and all everything that's in the vending machine is very hands on. So they can't wait just to open it and pick it apart and start digging into the excitement of the activity.
With the machine being in place and the kids know that it's there, they know that they can earn a token to get a kit out of the machine. How do you keep that sustainable for the rest of this school year and into the years to come?
So every month we have an honor roll ceremony where that's based around like our character traits of the month, and students get acknowledged for all the great things that they do. So at our last honor roll, we actually asked the kids, what are some more things that you want to see from the STEM machine? Because they were really excited about it. So a lot of them wanted more activities with like magnets. A lot of people, a lot of the students wanted more things with like fossils and anything that anything to go with like digging and dinosaurs. So they're looking to really dive into all the cool things that they're learning in science with Mrs. Graham. And they want to see those kind of fun games or books or anything else like STEM related in the machine.
So that actually gives the students a sense of ownership as well to know that, hey, we really like these things. So we would like to see more of these things. It makes your job a little easier to know how to reward them.
For more information about the Reading Revolution, please visit bookvending.com. If you would like to contact us or would like to suggest a guest, drop us a line at readingrevolutionpod@gmail.com. The Reading Revolution is hosted by Josh Gregory, with technical direction from Thomas Crane and David Gagan. The podcast is produced by Jake Blumberg and Connor Russo. The executive producer is Jay Blumberg. Thanks again for watching and listening. We'll see you here again on The Reading Revolution, where literacy matters.